Matthew 10:34. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And that word peace means prosperity and rest. We sleep at night. As we progress in life, we assume that the money that we made in our job that we started off with is not the job money that we make in the job that we end with, right? There's rest and there's prosperity. God certainly didn't say that He was going to lay you down on a bed of nails every night, but Jesus wants us to understand that in this life, some have it easier than others. Some have it harder than others. We can't do anything about that. I can't come into your life and change your social status or your monetary value of your property, because then that would decrease mine. And if I was lower than you, then would you want to take what you have to raise me up so that we'd all be equal? I mean, Jesus is just saying, don't expect this kind of worldly prosperity, because I'm trying to show you something outside of this world, right? I mean, if He just came to make us better people and richer people, then who cares about heaven? Let's just get it all now, right? Who cares about the afterlife? Let's just enjoy it now. He's told us the reason he focused on this and he's made this statement is because he wants us to understand that by standing in His teachings and by standing on His name, that the world was not going to appreciate that, because it was going to pull from them. God in His Word says, He says, you don't worry about gathering. If that's so important to you, He says, I'll let them gather and I'll take from them and give to you. He tells you this in His own words. We can believe God. Jesus came to show us something, and He came He says that He came to bring a sword. And a lot of times we think with the sword, then there's some analogies that we could use there. Because when you look it up, it's a literal sword. Like the Jews thought that Jesus came to rise up the Jewish nation again as a physical nation and get them to conquer Rome, and that they would be the world power. And of course, that's not what He came to do. That word sword there, it starts off at 3162, but if you look through, it means war, judicial punishment, and controversy. Jesus came to shake us up. He came to change the world. Then expect Him to do that. Expect that when you stand on His teachings, expect that when you stand instead of Christ, in the stead of Christ, when you stand and say, I am of Jesus, I'm going to teach the things that He did, expect those things to happen. Expect there to be controversy, a punishment that's going to exist with it. But remember, you're the one carrying the sword, not them. Jesus said, I bring the sword. And if we stand in His stead, we carry the sword, not them. Not the way that it looks, but we carry the sword. Luke says the same thing. Do you suppose that I came to give peace? Jesus said in Luke the same thing, 12:51. Do you suppose that I came to give peace? Same word, same meaning on earth. He said, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. He came to separate you from the world. So don't be surprised that you don't fit in when you stand for Christ. Don't be surprised that if you become a stronger Christian, a more grounded Christian, that you don't fit in where you used to fit in before. Understand that He's telling you, I came to bring this division. There has to be a division between those that serve me and those that don't. Isn't there? There's a division between people you will let in your house and people that you will not let in your house. Somebody shows up to the door and they say, I need to come inside. And they say, well, I don't know you. And I said, it doesn't matter. I need to come inside. I'm hungry and I need to go to the bathroom. Well, you're not coming to my house. If you don't want to make any divisions, then don't make any divisions. But God has come to make a division. That's what He told us. And He says that division will be made with a sword. And that word division there means disunion of opinion and conduct. The world will not agree with us. We will not agree with the world. They will act the way that they want to act. We will not act the way that they act. God says that He came to bring a division, and that word, that sword, that word of His mouth is what causes that division. It dictates how we think. It dictates how we act. It dictates how we sleep. It dictates our life. Because the fact is, nothing will thin out a crowd who gather in the name of Jesus quicker than bringing out a sword. I mean, if you had come today and you had visited, right, and you don't know me from Adam, you don't know anything about here, and you had come to visit, and I brought out this sword, an actual sword, and I walked down like this, how would you feel? Huh? Why wouldn't you be? You know, you don't know me. And I got a sword in my hand. Can you imagine if Jesus brought a literal sword? I mean, if Jesus had brought out a literal sword, that sword of that word is exactly that to the powers of the devil. That word is a sword to those that want to come against you. It is a literal sword to them. Jesus said, I bring the sword. And when you hold His word and you teach His word in the fightings of this world and the circumstances of this world, understand you are the one that holds the sword, not them. Not them. Luke 9:53-56. But they did not receive Him because His face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when His disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do You want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? You know, when we see people that are disobedient to God, and we think that, or we see people that are going on the wrong way, and heaven forbid, we should think that we're going to be the ones to bring punishment down on them. Remember, we're holding the sword, right? And so we think, Lord, do You want us to use this sword against them? But He turned and He rebuked that idea. And He says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And so that's a little confusing because you carry a sword. Carry a sword. And the Scripture says that you didn't come to use that sword against your fellow man, but you came to use that sword to give them a chance. So do you know what that means? You're going to do with that sword? You're going to fight for them. You're going to fight for them. You're going to give them a chance to repent of their deeds. Because someone before you had that sword. And they fought for you. They prayed for you. They sacrificed for you. They went to the cross for you. When He said, I did not come to destroy men's lives, He says, I gave them time to repent. And when you go back up there and you look at the Matthew and Luke passage where He says, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I come to make known the truth of those who are in authority over you, those who are trying to oppress you, those who are trying to lie to you. He says, I've come to reveal all this to you. And when that happens, they're going to come after Me and they're going to come after you because you were their prize and they have lost that prize and they're coming after you. And He says, they will have to get through Me and My sword. Because I will stand and I will defend. I will fight for you. And that was the question I asked a moment ago. What if Jesus had brought a physical sword to the people? This would have surely have shown them that judgment had come. See, what we're failing to realize is that when Jesus' words came upon the world upon the nation of Israel, judgment had come upon them. As sure as if Jesus would have shown up and drawn a physical sword. There's no battle to win. Jesus has won that battle. There is no outcome that's in question. The Christian will prevail. Do you understand? And so when he looks on there and you see the word division, mean disunion of opinion and conduct, when you have people that are on the outside and there's people that are on the inside, the only way those people on the outside are going to be given a chance is if we go after them. But you know, the odd thing about inside, outside, talking about the world and talking about the church, do you know when you read Scripture, Jesus' focus when He was in the Old Testament, the focus of the law was for the world or for the nation of Israel? It was for Israel. Do you know that the focus of these things that Christ tells us and the things that we read, the focus is the church? We can only do but so much out there. But God forbid if we would sit here and watch someone be dragged off. And in that instance, it's time for us to stand and draw our swords. Do we understand that? We better. Because this disunion that happens isn't just between us and the world. It's between us and our system of beliefs. It's between us and our opinions, how we see things. The devil is treacherous, and he doesn't care what he can use against you. He just wants you to put your sword away, sit down, and be happy. Right? That's all he wants. He doesn't want you to be disrupted in what you think is a good worship service. He doesn't want you to be disrupted in what you think is a good life. He wants you to be happy. Jesus said, I come to shake all of that up because I want you to know that I give you a sword because you've got to use that sword because the enemy will not relent. He will constantly come after you. He will constantly try to take you away. He will constantly try to turn you against me. And he says, I give you a sword to fight back with that. Luke 12:49, he says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. When you look around, do you see the flames of judgment? We don't see a physical sword. We don't see physical flames. But when you see people honoring things that God has said is wrong, surely judgment is to come upon them. And so we set our sights and say, I'm not going to let them have them. And so naturally, our friends and our family that aren't here would come to mind immediately, right? But suppose it was one of us. Suppose it was one of us that had wandered off. Would we feel the same way, that same fire and passion as we do with our own family? They criticized Jesus because he worked on the Sabbath. And he said, which one of you, when you had lost one sheep, would not leave the 99 and go after the one? He said, I am the good shepherd. David said, I tend the sheep. He said, the lion tries to come in the gate. He says, I kill the lion. He said, the bear tries to come into the late and in through the gate. He says, I kill the bear. The people that are sitting here that are struggling and trying to hold on to the message that Christ brought, people are people, circumstances, everything is continually trying to pull them away. All I can say to you is don't let them. Don't let them. The only person that wins in that is Satan. The division that God had was not you and me. The division was us and the world. Right? The body of Christ, not the body of Christ. Those that were forgiven, those that were not forgiven. That's the division that we need to make. We need to make no other divisions. Because the enemy is trying to make those divisions. He doesn't carry the sword. He doesn't get to make those divisions. You carry the sword. You defend. You fight off. You go and rescue. And when I say you, I mean us. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. The authority of the Word of God against the enemy. Jeremiah said, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" None of it will be easy. Some of it will bring tears because of the dust that settled. God says, my word is like a hammer, and it comes down and it will destroy your heart. But never fear. God said, I'm going to take the heart that was stone, and He says, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. He says, you say you want to love. He says, I'm going to give you a heart that can love. He says, you know how to sacrifice. He says, I'm going to give you a heart that knows what long suffering means. But judgment has come upon the world. It has started with His Word. In the body, we have escaped that judgment because we have been forgiven. Don't let somebody go back out into that world and fall again under that judgment. Because He says, if that's happened, what's going to bring them back? The love of God? Well, He's experienced that. He's seen that. You show them the love of God. That's how you brandish that sword. The devil cannot bring division if you are willing to forgive. If you are willing to take a personal sacrifice, even being wronged and having the right to say, remember Jesus, when He went to that tree for you, He gave up His judgment. He committed it to God. He was a sheep led to a slaughter, and even those that slaughtered Him said, we find no fault in this man. What has He done? But He gave up His judgment. He had every right. He told them, don't I have the right to call 10 legions of angels to come and fight for me? He gave up that right because in your silence, judgment will be here. What can we do against this world? They are much stronger in physical prowess than we are. They make the laws that suppress the church. They make the laws that suppress the people. They have the authority to take away what you have. What can we do against stuff like that? But Jesus told us, He says, you carry the sword, not them. You fight for my people. I will fight for you. Our unity is not one of common ground, common experience, or even common opinions. That's not what unifies us. That's what used to unify us, right? People who like to sew, they got into sewing clubs. People who like to golf, they got into golf clubs, right? Our common ground is not the common experience or even the common opinions that we share. Our unity should start first on the fact that we have been forgiven. That's where our unity should start. Not in the fact that we share common interests, but in the fact that we have been forgiven by God Almighty. That's where our unity should start. Because I could look at you and say, they've been forgiven by God. What can I hold against them? And when God says, you fight for me, that means that I fight for us. We fight for this body. This is all that we have. You fight like the third monkey heading towards Noah's Ark. Because remember, it only took two, right? You're the third monkey. You fight like you want to be on that ark. You fight for each other. You fight for yourself. You carry that sword that He gave you. You be fearless. Micah 7:5 through 6, do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. See, the focus is not out there. The focus is here. He's letting you know that the enemy is not who we think he is out there. The enemy is the one sitting in here that's going to cause a disunion between us. And God says that when you see that, you do something about it. Because if somebody comes in here wielding a sword and we do nothing about it, he'll hack us to pieces. He'll split this body right down the middle and he'll cut us all to pieces. And there won't be anything left. God gave us a sword. Don't trust a friend. Your daughter plots against you. What kind of life is this? What is Micah talking about? Why come we can't trust in a friend? I thought we could trust our friends. Matthew 10:36-37. Jesus said, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He's talking about the enemies that we will fight in here. I want us to understand that. We fight out there. I know that. We have to be on guard out there. We come in here, we don't think we have to be on guard. And that's why God's Word focuses on the fact that our real enemy is the one that causes us to divide from one another. Breaking fellowship is a very serious thing. What is your answer to God Almighty when you say, I will no longer worship with those people? What is your answer? You know what? You'll be given a chance on Judgment Day to speak your answer. Do you want to wait till that day? He's telling you that our enemy is what happens in here. What happens out there? You know that they hate us. You know that they want to shut the doors. You know that they're not here for your, they're not out there for your common good. The real enemy that he wants us to focus on, the one that we can do something about, is the one that's in here. The one that separates, the one that divides from his word. He tells us, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And you read a statement like that and you think, that's just insane. Do you leave the church because your family thinks that you shouldn't be here? That's all he's talking about. What's most important to you? Them or serving me? That's what he's asking you. And when you come to a place, when you come to a real place where serving Him is what is important to you, you'll be willing to start making sacrifices that you thought you couldn't. And those sacrifices won't be that you leave those people in the dust. Those sacrifices is you draw that sword and you say, I've had enough. I have fought this world. I have fought the world on their terms. I've tried to do it easily. I've tried to do it nicely. But you know what? When your appendix have to come out, I've got to cut you open. I'm drawing that sword and enough is enough. I'm going to fight for you as of today. Jesus said, I come to bring a sword. Who are you going to use it against? We do not divide over family lines. We do not divide over lasting friendship. That's common ground with the world. The church should divide over those who come against our God, against His Word, and against His mercy. We pull that sword, we break out that sword for those that seek to cause division, and we don't let it happen. Because that sword that we bear only causes two divisions. We'll only allow two divisions. You're either going to serve Him or you're not. And in this place, this is where we come to serve. I know it says when we leave, depart to serve, and I understand all of that. But we don't divide over family lines. We don't divide over common ground. We divide over people who come against our God, against His Word, and against the mercy that He has asked us to show one another. Matthew 23:37-38. Jesus looked at the nation of Israel and He said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He says, the one who kills the prophets and stone those who are sent to her. He said, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. He says, but you are not willing. You are not willing. He says, see, your house is left desolate. This is what Jesus told the nation of Israel. They didn't listen, and they still don't. They don't listen to His words. They don't draw His sword. They fight against Him. They fight against our God. They fight against the God of Israel. They want nothing to do with them. And He told them, He said, how I wish that I could just gather you together, but you weren't willing. Remember, the sword brings division only two ways, service to God or no service to God. And He said, you will not serve my God, you will not listen to my words. He says, then I will bring the sword against you. And that was His own people. Galatians 5:13-15, He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. This is what He told the church. He told the nation of Israel. He said, if you will not accept my words, if you will not be my people, if you will not follow my dictates, if you will not willing to see the God of Israel, He says, I will bring that sword against you. In Galatians, He says that the same thing will happen. He tells the church together, He says, beware, if we bite and devour one another, He says, what does He say is going to happen? He says, we'll be consumed by one another. He told the church, will we listen? Will we listen? He told Israel that. They didn't listen. He brought the sword against them. God is not going to bring the sword against which one of us is better. He's going to bring the sword against those that bring division against His God, His Word, and His mercy. Those are the only divisions, and that sword is the only sword that exists. The sword that pierces our skin and takes our life, God says, that's no sword. He says, watch this, and He raises us from the dead. Remember, Jesus said, I'll show you who to fear. He says, you fear the one that bears my sword. Only one division does it make, those who serve God and those who do not. And the last thing that God wanted from that nation of Israel, He told them, He says, I wish I could just gather you. The last thing He wanted was for them to bite and devour one another. And they did. The Pharisees wanted to hold on to their religion. The Sadducees wanted to hold on to theirs. And both of them wanted to get rid of Christ. And He told the church the same thing. So, we have a decision to make. Because every day that we walk, the devil watches us. He watches us how we walk. He watches what makes us stumble. He watches what makes us feel defeated. He watches what makes us happy. He watches what makes us sad. And He sees where your limits are. The devil is mistaken. You do not have limits. The judgment that you carry, the judgment that you hold on to, the forgiveness that you hold on to, extends from now till time ends. And time will never end. I'm talking about the new heaven and new earth. The days will go on. There'll be a day that will not end. The judgment that we have, we do not have limitations. We have limitations in the flesh, and the devil tries to use those against us, and he watches us. When that happens, you brandish that sword. And that's why Scripture says, submit to God. Refuse the devil, and he will flee from you. And that word means to run in terror. You know why he runs in terror? Because you've pulled that sword. And he has nothing to fight against that. Nothing. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he stood before a million of his countrymen. You better believe he drew that sword, because he didn't know what was going to happen. But he knew that that sword was from God, and he was willing to die by that sword than he was from the countrymen of Israel. He made his choice. And he told them. He used that sword when he told them to repent and be baptized. That's also the keys. Remember when Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven? He used those keys on the day of judgment. On the day of Pentecost, that opened up the giving of the Holy Spirit. It was the keys that opened up the door of the church. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He says, that's a promise that I've made to you. We can trust in that promise. We hold the sword, not them. Don't let somebody come in here and start using the sword that's been given to us. They don't know what they're doing with it. We do. It's the Word of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the sacrifice of His Son. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?